Hey friend, welcome. I'm so excited to have you here listening to another episode of the Pattern Design Circle podcast. Here we talk all about the ins and outs of designing knit and crochet patterns and running a business that makes it all possible. I'm Jessica, your host, knitting pattern designer, design mentor, and the friend in your ear. Can't wait to dive right in. For knit and crochet pattern designers that are feeling lost, lonely, or frustrated in their business. It connects you with a supportive community that's always eager to answer your questions and help you through the hard times. And there's loads of resources and activities specifically catered to business and designing. Sound like your jam? Check it out at snickerdoodleknits.com/design-circle. That's snickerdoodle, like the cookie, knits, knits.com/design-circle. All right, let's get into it. Welcome to episode 6 of the Pattern Design Circle podcast. Today we are talking all about test knitting or crocheting. It applies for both crafts. So if you watched episode 4, which was about tech editing, I did give a bit of an overview on what test knitting is, the difference between tech editing and test knitting and all of that. But I will go ahead and let's chat about that for a little bit, just in case you haven't listened to that episode, or if you're listening to this episode before that episode. So test knitting versus tech editing. Tech editing is where one person goes through and reviews your entire pattern from a technical level. So tech editing is actually technical editing. but they're looking at especially the numbers, all of the math, making sure all of the numbers work for stitch counts, for increases, for decreases, for all of the sizes, for the measurements that you're actually giving your customers, the even things like the yarn requirements that you give them. And then they're also looking at things like punctuation and grammar and really looking at making sure that the pattern is clearly written, that it's going to be easy to understand for your knitters, things like that. All right, now usually test knitting or test crocheting is a group of folks. Often you want to have all of your sizes tested. And if you have multiple versions of the pattern, like say a charted version and a written version, you want to have both of those tested. Now, testers, they are not doing the math. They're approaching it just like somebody who has purchased your pattern and is working through it. So they're testing it as a customer, basically. But then their job is to give you feedback in return. So as things are typically structured, at least right now in the current climate of our industry, testers are typically testing for free, with the exception that usually you give them an additional pattern. There are a lot of different thoughts around that. I personally would love to be able to pay test knitters for their time because it's valuable. We are paying tech editors typically, more on that in episode 4. But the problem is often as designers are not making enough money on our patterns to even be able to pay for testing. So that's a whole nother conversation I'm sure we will talk about at some time. But in general, you can expect that your testing is free or you're not paying your test knitters. Now, the testers are primarily checking to make sure that your sizing works. they choose a certain size to make sure that it can fit them or somebody else that they're working for. Knitting for, crocheting for. And then they're also checking to make sure that the pattern is easy to read, that it makes sense as a knitter or a crocheter. So if you have some instruction on how to do something very specific, they can follow that instruction and let you know, hey, I don't know what you're trying to say here. Or, oh, this was so clear. This helped me so much. This was extremely helpful. Now, test knitting and tech editing, I think, are both very important. Here's why. The tech editor is looking at all of the math. They're the person that you're paying, and really make sure that everything is correct from a mathematical perspective. The testers are knitting the thing or crocheting the thing. The tech editor is not doing that. There are some things that work just fine mathematically, but don't work so well when you're doing it in real life on the needles or on the hook. So I think testing is really important for that. Testing is also really important for making sure your sizes are actually working, that it actually fits the sizes that you want to. And then a bonus is that it's really neat to be able to see different projects using your design. So you can see it in different kinds of yarns. You can see how well different, like say variegated versus strips versus rainbow versus solid versus all the different kinds of yarns that people are going to use to work your pattern, you can see how it actually works. So if you find out in testing that something doesn't work, you can say that up front before somebody buys your pattern. Say, hey, just FYI, this happens when you do this. And then, depending on what you ask for in your test knit and stuff, sometimes you can get more publicity around your launch because folks are sharing it on social media and things like that. Also, on Ravelry, having different projects available is really helpful for other customers wanting to purchase your pattern, because A, it gives you a trust, gives them a trust factor to know that other people are working it and it worked fine. But also to see how it fits on different bodies and to see those different yarn combinations and things like that. All right. So let's actually talk about all of the things with testing. So what does a tester do? A tester is looking for readability. They're checking to make sure, like, hey, this makes sense while I'm making it. I'm actually able to make the thing, and the thing actually looks like it's supposed to look. They're checking for clarity, that kind of falls into that, but really making sure like this made sense or this didn't make sense. I was not really sure if I was doing the right thing here, but it looks like it turned out. But if you can make that more clear, I think that would help future people. And then, like I said, they're also testing your sizing. They're making sure that the sizes that you've provided actually fit the people that you claim will fit and that it fits in the way that you claim that it will fit. Now, what they don't do, like I mentioned, is the math. They don't do the technical work. You will come across some test knitters who do have more of a technical mind. They might be designers, they might be tech editors, they might just be knitters or crocheters who love the math part. So you may get some folks that do provide some more of that technical support, technical feedback, but for the most part, it's really getting a sample of what the experience is going to be for your actual customers. So, where do we find our test knitters? As a beginner designer, that can be a really big question, and it can be hard to find test knitters. Now, my top recommendation for finding test knitters is Yarn Pond. I have been using it for a little over a year, and the thing is that it is a platform that is really catered to test knitting. So, they've provided all of the stuff like told you the kinds of information you should provide up front for your test knitters so they know if they actually want to test the thing or not. They have a space for chat where folks can ask questions or give feedback. They have a space where you can keep track of all of the corrections so that folks that testers that aren't wanting to pay attention to the whole chat or, were away for a week and now there's a lot there and they can't go through it, they can check your list of corrections and know if they really missed anything important. You can also link to the pattern somewhere via Yarn Pond, and they have a survey feedback ability. So you can add questions that folks will answer after they have finished testing. I believe that they have to mark the test as complete before they can fill in that survey. So you know that you're really getting their final feedback, all of their feedback there. I do recommend my test. I do ask my testers to share feedback in the chat as they're working, because I like to make the edits in the pattern as they're working through it and finding things that they want edited. Just makes less work for me in the end. But the survey really makes sure that I get all the information that I'm looking for, that I really need to make sure the pattern is what I want it to be. Now, another thing, I feel like I'm just listing a whole bunch of great things about yarn upon and keep saying and. But I think this is the final thing that I really like about yarn upon is that it has lots of testers there. It's created, technically, you can do tech editing on it as well, but really, it's a platform for testing. So there are loads of testers there that see your pattern when you publish it for testing, when you make it available. The Yarn Pond company also sends out an email. Well, I think it depends on your email settings, notification setting, but I get an email every day that tell me all of the new test knits for that day. So folks that are on their email list, that would be folks that are signed up for Yarn Pond as a tester, they and have their notifications as such, will receive a notification that your test is up. So they even know about it. And Yarn Pond will put a social media post on Instagram to share about it, to say that it's open. So I have found that very helpful in helping fill my tests. That doesn't mean that every test always gets filled. I think there's a lot of factors that go into it, like time of year. Sometimes it just seems like folks have lots of stuff going on and they're not ready to test something. It also has to do with the size of the project. And sometimes it can be hard to predict exactly if folks are going to love it or not. But for the most part, I've had more success filling my tests over on Yarn Pond than I have on Ravelry. The other platform that I used to use was Ravelry. There are several different boards that you can post tests in. The one that I really love and recommend is the testing pool, POOL, like a swimming pool, the testing pool. It's just a board on Ravelry where you can post and say that you're looking for testers. And there you can host the test in the testing pool, or you can host it somewhere else. So what I do now is I still post in that thread or on that forum and say, hey, I have a new test, but it's located on Yarn Pond. So you can apply here. And that allows me to tag all of the folks who were on my testing list on Ravelry in that post. So I can say, hey, I have a new test knit, come check it out. Technically, I suppose I could do that in my own group, but that also allows other folks on Ravelry to still see it if they want to join. Other places to find testers, if you have social media, post it on social media. Ask your audience if they want to join. If you have an email list, share it with your email list. And those are Well, you can also like Facebook, there's Facebook groups and things like that. But my top recommendations are Yarn Pond and the testing pool on Ravelry. Maybe the asterisks here in the tech editing episode, I started adding asterisks. So you can pretend like you're reading this or something, I guess. But the asterisks about the Yarn Pond is that it is, you do have to pay for it. So you, it's $5 per test, I believe, to post it. But you can buy a bundle of credits, is what they call it. One credit is one pattern. If you buy a bundle of credits, then you can purchase them at a cheaper price per pattern. So I, when I joined, little over a year ago, I bought a bundle and I'm still, I think it says I still have like 11 credits left. I thought I was going to be doing all sorts of patterns last year and this year. And then I started mentoring designers and the design circle and all that kind of thing. So I haven't been publishing or designing nearly as much, but that it's nice to know that it's already paid for and I don't have to pay for it for a while. All right, so those are the different places to find it. Now let's talk about where you can actually run the test. You can run the test, like I said, on YarnPond. You can also run the test on Ravelry, on the testing pool. And then several folks also run tests in a large variety of other places. So some folks like to host a test on Instagram in messages. They'll just add all of the testers to one group message and everybody can communicate that way. Some will do it via email. So they have a group email list and folks can respond that way. Some folks will do like a Discord server. And then that way they can kind of set it up a little more like YarnPond, where they have different, what Discord calls channels, basically threads, where folks can have different conversations. So you could have one that is specifically for chat, one is that for feedback, one is for photos, things like that. Personally, I don't like hosting on Instagram or email. I've done it via email. I have not done it via Instagram, but I don't like having all of the feedback. So for emails, folks sometimes will respond to the whole thread. Sometimes they'll send separate emails. And I find it just a lot harder to keep track of all of the things. Instagram, I guess, probably isn't that much different than the chat part of YarnPond, but then you don't have all of the different features of being able to ask a survey, things like that. I did for a while on Ravelry, I had created an external survey. So like something with MailChimp or SurveyMonkey or Google Forms that I would link. So you could do that on Instagram or Discord or things like that. Something I just remembered talking about YarnPond. I didn't finish my thought on the fact that there are lots of testers there on the group, on the platform. They also have the ability to review testers and to review designers. So you can look when you are accepting test knitters or crocheters. So you can see if they have done other test knits. You can see like review testimonial kind of things from other designers. And there's a star rating. YarnPond gives you the exact information on how to rate testers, and it's all based on how much they completed in the test knit. But then you can see the star rating. So if you're worried about somebody quote unquote ghosting you, which means that they take the pattern and run and never give you feedback, you can get an idea of who's doing that on YarnPond based on their star rating or on the comments from the designers. Now, at the same time, the testers can rate the designers. I don't know if they can leave feedback or if it's just a star rating, but I do know that it's a thing. All right, so back to testing platforms. It really comes down to what you want to be able to do and how convenient you want it to be for you and for your testers. Obviously, using a platform like Instagram, if everybody's already on Instagram, can be simple. But if it's harder for you to keep track of, it might not be your preferred location. Also, if you want something a bit more organized where you have the options to have different threads or a different organization, YarnPond or Discord or Slack might work better for you. I will say, you know, I've said a lot of very nice things about YarnPond, but I won't say it's perfect. When I first started, especially, I was a little annoyed with, or quite annoyed with a lot of the different features. And like, you have to complete all of this stuff in order to submit it. And then you have to, anyway, just different things that the way that it's set up that it's not completely flexible for you to just do whatever you want. However, I do really like it now. I feel like it saves me a ton of time in things like managing the test knitters and reminding them, hey, I still need your survey, or the deadline's coming up this day, because Yarn Pond sends all of those notifications and tells testers all of that kind of stuff. All right, let's talk about compensation. I mentioned before that testing is typically free, which is true. But there is an expectation typically that you provide at least one pattern to your testers so that they're at least compensated somehow. Also make sure you give them the final pattern that they're testing. Let them have that final pattern. But then also often it is expected that you give them another pattern from your designs as paint. And that's usually all that is expected. There are, you do have the ability, if you want to pay them. You can give them yarn support. You can do what you want. But at a minimum, I really do recommend that you give the final pattern and you give another pattern of the tester's choice. Now, what I did when I first started, because obviously if you're first starting and it's your first pattern, you don't have any other patterns to give them. I gave them until the end of the year to choose any of the patterns that I published that year, which was probably close to 10 patterns, 8 patterns, I don't know. Maybe 8 patterns. But what I then did was at the end of the year, or maybe the beginning of December, I was like, hey, these are all of my patterns that I'm publishing this year. Let me know which one you want. And that allowed me to still be able to give them a pattern, even though I didn't have a pattern available at the time. And it went well. So I started designing in April. So that was, 9 months of patterns that they could choose from. All right, how do we run a test knit? First of all, we're going to publish the call. And you probably want to tell people about it. So even if you're not hosting it on your email or on your Instagram, tell folks about it, especially if you're having trouble filling the test knit. Let them know, I still have X number of spots, or I'm looking for these sizes. So you tell them about it on Instagram and or via your email list. Then you can choose, does the test start as soon as they're accepted? Do you send them the pattern right away? Or in the case of Yarn Pond, do they have access to the pattern right away? Or is it going to start at a certain date? So you might start asking for testers 1 week before you're actually going to give them the pattern. Then make your expectations really clear. Let them know when they're going to have the pattern. Let them know what you want from them and when any deadlines that you have, when things are going to be due. And then basically the testers, they just have the pattern until, I mean, they have the pattern indefinitely because now they've downloaded it, probably printed it. But they have the pattern and they're going to work on it until the deadline. Some folks will finish really quick. Some folks will wait until close to the end to start. But they have that given amount of time to work the pattern and give you feedback. And you can choose whether you take a look at that feedback and edit during the test, or whether you would rather wait until the very end when you have all of the feedback and kind of go through it all and make all of the edits at the end. Like I mentioned, I prefer to make the edits throughout the process. That A allows me to minimize the amount of time I have to spend on editing at the very end, but it also allows me to get a little more feedback from my testers. So I can go ahead and change it, and I can make sure what all of the other testers are thinking. So if one person proposed this idea and I go ahead and change it, and five other people are like, no, that doesn't make any sense, We can have that discussion. We can have that chat. It's a lot more interactive when I am making those edits throughout the process. One thing I did want to touch on is the information that you give folks interested in your test before you accept them as a test sitter. In general, I say, give them as much information as you're going to give your customers. What does a person want to know when they're going to be knitting your project? They probably want to know skill level. They probably want to know size, like size measurements, the number of sizes you have available. They probably want to know charted or written, or if there's video tutorials. And they want to know how much yarn they're going to need and what size of yarn and things like the tools and materials. If this is your first time running a test, you may find it helpful to just take a look at other tests that are being run on Yarn Pond and or the testing pool, just because it gives you an idea of what folks are giving for information. When you test on Yarn Pond, like I said, they have all of like, they ask you to fill in all of that information. So you know exactly, like you don't even have to think about it. You just fill in the blanks. Also, definitely give deadline information. Let them know when things are due. And in some cases, like for socks or mittens, you might not require that they knit both of them. Like if they're just working the same pattern twice, you might just require that they have one finished sample instead of the pair. So make that clear. Let folks know. As far as deadlines, it can be hard to know how much time you give, because often we're designing, you know, we're just working on it all, you know, in a fairly small amount of time because we're just trying to get it done. It's our focus. Where testers, it's not as high a priority for them. So in general, what I figure is I give 2 weeks for things like dishcloths. And then I give 4 weeks for smaller accessories like hats, mittens, headbands, cowls. And then I give 6 weeks for things like shawls and socks. I did a poll on Instagram maybe 6 months ago or so, asking what folks felt about these timelines, because I do know that it's a big thing for testers. I'll talk later about some of the feedback that testers have shared with me. But a big thing is for testers is the deadline. How much time are they going to have to make the thing? And a few folks did say that they would rather have 8 weeks for test knitting fingering weight shawls and large fingering weight shawls and large or fingering weight shawls that have a lot of texture. So, just FYI there, if you want to consider that. Then for garments like sweaters, pullovers, vests, things like that, dresses, skirts, typically it's recommended at least 8 weeks. So at least 2 months, especially for larger sizes. So that's just what I use and different recommendations that I have heard for deadlines. All right, so we've talked about what test knitting is. We have talked about how to find test knitters, where to run a test knit, how to run a test knit, and information to give them. Now let's dive into the things your test knitters want you to know. So this was all from a series of polls I did on my Instagram stories where I just was asking, hey testers, what do you get most frustrated with in a test? Or hey testers, what do you want designers to know? Or, you know, different things like that. So these are the most common responses I got. First of all, testers want to make sure you give plenty of time for them to work the thing. They are usually have a full-time job outside of testing and they have a family and a life. Testing is not their 24/7 focus. So they need to have plenty of time to work the thing. The second thing that I heard a lot of is they want designers to communicate throughout the test knit or crochet. Several folks, it sounds like, have had experiences where designers just give the pattern and then never say anything again. They like to have interaction and answers and things like that from the designers. And so having a place where you can communicate and chat, I think, is really helpful for that. Whether that's Instagram, Discord, Yarn Pond, Ravelry, a place where it's easy to ask questions and share feedback, and you can explain things, you can answer questions, all of that kind of stuff. I would say email is probably the hardest place to do that. It's just not set up quite as easy of a format to just go back and forth. I should have mentioned this earlier in the platforms, but I like to have a group place where everybody's seeing everything, because a lot of times testers will have the same question. So if you're doing it something like email, a lot of times you get private messages and you get the same message from four different people that you now have to answer to four different people. Where if it's in the test, somebody might ask that and somebody else might actually get to it before you do. But then also the whole group is aware of this thing and solving this thing. And it's a lot more community focused. The next thing that testers said they really wanted designers to know is that they want you to give very clear expectations. What do you expect from them? Do you want them to knit the whole thing? Do you just need them to knit the first half? Do you want feedback on grammar and punctuation? Do you just want feedback on whether it works? Do you want feedback on how well it fits? Do you want to know things like yardages and what needle size they used and what their gauge is? And then also, what all do you expect from them? Do they need to give you photos of their finished project? Do they need to have a Ravelry project page that shares all of their information? Do they need to share it on Instagram? All of that kind of stuff. Make sure that is very clear in the information that you post when you first post the test, so that they know what the expectations are before they commit to anything. Another thing testers said that they really love is when a designer creates a sense of community. They love connecting with other knitters, crocheters who are working through the pattern. And it's kind of just a way for them to have some community and some connection. It's also a way for them to connect with you as the designer. And I know I've gotten a lot of feedback. This isn't necessarily under community. It might be a little more under communication, but I get a lot of folks telling me that they love knowing that I'm actually listening to their feedback. So anytime somebody says that they're having trouble with something, or they have a question on something, or they have a recommendation, I'll ask things like, how can I make this better? How can I make it more clear? Or I'll propose something and say, hey, I'm thinking of changing it to this. Is this better? Is this more clear? Does this make sense? Or like if it's something that they've proposed and I'm like, I'm not really sure if this is the best way to do it or not, A, I probably go to my tech editor, but B, I also post in the chat where I'm like, oh, this is a really interesting idea, perspective, opinion. I'd love to hear what other testers are thinking. And so then that brings in the feedback of other testers. So I'm not just following the advice of one person who might actually not represent the greater whole, but instead I get a better idea of what everybody's thinking. So if large majority really prefers one way over the other, I know that's probably the better way to go. Two more things that testers really want you to know as a designer. First of all, obviously this is like number five, but of the last two, first one is tech edit your pattern before giving it to testers. And that's because it saves them a lot of grief if the pattern's correct mathematically. So if stitch counts are off and you're having to change a bunch of stuff in the pattern, that can prove to be a problem and an issue for testers, because maybe they've already finished the thing and now you're changing the pattern, or B, it's slowing them down or changing their timeline and they're having to sit and wait for you. All right, the last thing testers want you to know is that you need to remember to share a finished copy of the pattern with them. And what I always do, the way I do that, is I just send the pattern to them via Ravelry as a gift. So then they have the copy, but then they also have any future versions. Like if I ever make an edit to the layout or things like that in the future, they will always get any of the updates. But sometimes I think that the time when this becomes the most difficult is when you're running a test for a design that won't be published for a while. Like if you're designing it for a release that's a long ways out and you can't send the pattern yet via Ravelry, at that point you'll probably have to share it either via some sort of link or via email. But those are the things your testers want you to know. Give plenty of time in your deadlines. Communicate. Share clear expectations. Create a sense of community. Tech edit before you test it. And remember to share a finished copy of your pattern with your testers. So I think that's everything to do with testing. We talked about what testers do, what they don't do, how to find testers, where to post about your test, where to hold your test or run your test, how to compensate testers, how to then run the test, and then things that your testers want you to know. So I hope you took good notes. If you are new to this and trying to figure out how to navigate it, as always, if you want to continue this conversation or if you have any questions, please reach out to me on Instagram at Pattern Design Circle. I'm always happy to continue the conversation. Of course, here I'm just talking to myself in your ear, and I'd love to hear from you. Also, one last reminder before I go, this is April 2022 for anybody who's listening to this into the future, but right now for this month, doors to the Design Circle are open. We are a community of designers that support each other. Answer any questions. We have lots of guests, like, well, where do you even start? about everything related to designing, business, and marketing. Next month, we have Gigi of Gigi Made It joining us to talk about authenticity and, you know, just sticking it through when things get tough. So anyway, doors are currently open to the Design Circle. You can find all of the information for that at snickerdoodleknits.com/design-circle. Also, if you follow me on Instagram at Pattern Design Circle, it's linked in my bio there. But till then, I hope you have a great, until next time, I didn't even say, next episode is going to be talking all about starting your first design if you are a beginner designer. So I will talk to you then. But until then, I hope that this information on tech editing, two episodes ago and now testing, is really helping you understand how those processes work, how they fit together, what the differences are, and how to make them more smooth. So I will talk to you soon. Wow, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you found it valuable, please share the podcast with a designer friend. And if you have a minute, leave a review. It's so helpful and means the world to me. Chat soon.